Specific Conversations from the Development Policy Centre with Tess Newton-Kane.
My name is Tess Newton-Kane. I'm a research associate at the Development Policy Centre. And this morning I'm visiting the law school at USP, and I'm actually in what was my office last time I worked at USP. So it's always a bit dangerous coming back in case someone gives me a job to do. But the reason that I'm here this morning is to have a conversation with my friend Tolei Mulitalo, who is currently a lecturer here. So good morning, Toa, and welcome to Pacific Conversations.
Good morning, Tess, and thank you for this opportunity.
You're very welcome. Thank you for making the time. So for our listeners, perhaps you could start by telling us something about yourself, your background, your experience, and what your current role is.
Right. My name is Lalotoa Mulitalo. That I currently use in front of my of Lalotoa Mulitalo is a name, is a chiefly title name in Samoa, and it's just given to me in about 2007. In any case, my name is Lalotoa Mulitalo. I was a law student here at the University of South Pacific MLS Campus Law School. After graduating here, I worked for 10 years in Samoa for the government of Samoa. And after working in Samoa, I took 4 years to do a PhD in Brisbane, the University of Queensland. And that was completed last year, 2013. And this year, I am here to teach. And my experience, I've had working experience with government in the Office of the Attorney General. But before that, I worked in the Ministry of Justice for 4 years. And then the Attorney General's Office after the law degree. And yes, I was mainly involved with the prosecution, well, like every small Pacific Island states, you get, tend to do many things in the Office of the Attorney General. And after that, I did a PhD research. And after today, I'm a lecturer since February this year.
Okay, can you tell us what you did your PhD research on?
The topic of my thesis is entitled The Consequences of Law Reform for Legal Pluralism. I looked at possible ways of carrying out, of addressing the conflicts or accommodation of the Western legal system together with a traditional legal system. And how I looked at one of the ways to address that, and that was through law reform.
Okay, great. Well, we might come back to law reform issues in a little while. But before that, based on your observations as a practitioner and a researcher and an educator, what do you think are the most significant constitutional and legal challenges that Pacific Island countries are facing at present?
With in relation to constitutional challenges, I think the biggest constitutional challenge is how to address traditional values that we try to uphold in the provisions of the Constitution in reality. In saying this, I refer to many constitutions of the Pacific Islands that uphold customary values, and at the same time have entrenched provisions on fundamental rights. I speak for Samoa in particular. Recently, the challenges to the Constitution in relation to electoral laws and candidacy, and how we can perhaps include the traditional Matai system into the candidacy as a member of parliament. And so every time we have general elections every 5 years, at the end of each general election, we have a commission of inquiry into how we can better the electoral system. And it's usually try and accommodate the the whamatai, or the traditional chiefly system. And even up to today, this the recent amendments were in 2009 to the Electoral Act. And in addition, the international obligations of gender neutrality and upholding women's status too, we've amended our constitution recently to include a women quota, certain number to be in parliament every year.
Mm. But my understanding of the situation in Samoa is that that quota will not necessarily be brought about through an election, that there will be women representatives appointed to parliament. Is that correct?
It will still be through an election.
Okay.
General election. So if the 49 members of parliament in Samoa, if the general elections are completed and there's five women already in from that general elections, there, that provision is not invoked. Should there be less than five women, then the women that were, had the highest votes will be there will be a ballot or something mm-hmm. to bring them. So there must always be a 5% women. So at a certain time, there'd probably be 49 plus 5, 54 members of parliament.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Well, that's an interesting way of addressing that issue. So staying within the context of your home country of Samoa, what do you think are the particular issues that you're looking at or thinking about in terms of legal reform as a way of supporting development in your country?
Legal reforms. The challenges, I believe the biggest challenge to law reform in Samoa is changing attitudes of the people, the general population, towards accommodating the Western legal system. It's so very well in the urban area where there's understanding of how this works. But, of course, the majority of the population, there needs to be a lot of public awareness on laws, what are laws, and how they play a part in it, and to encourage involvement and to make them believe that they have a role, a responsibility to take part in lawmaking in Samoa. So that, in saying that, to take the law out or to legal literacy or to carry out public education is quite. We need a lot of resources for that, and also the people responsible for reform will need to be able to speak in language and explain. So in the Samoan language, how the legal systems, the parliamentary system works, and the law enforcement system work. But I think if there is a general understanding of how people can fit into the legal system in Samoa, then there will be some help towards educating the public and having a say, encouraging them to have a say in lawmaking.
Do you think there are any areas of law that are in particular need of reform currently in Samoa?
Yes, right now, in particular, land and family laws. Land, and these are the two main areas that go to the core of a Samoan person, Samoan family, and the relationship with land. At the moment, we're going through. The government has put into place a commission of it's called the commission, Kashmir Land Advisory Commission, to look at ways to perhaps make use of customary land for economic developments. And this is not really going very well. The idea is that we make use of the customary land that is not being used, and the benefits go to the customary landowners. But it is difficult to make the villager understand that they are not losing their land that way, as we haven't done this before, so it's a new thing. It's going to take a bit of time. So we'll see how what happens. But in a number of surveys have been carried out for the last 10 to 20 years, looking at other jurisdictions, how we can use customary land in an economical way, in a beneficial economical way. But we will see how that goes. Mm. In relation to family laws, recently Samoa has appointed a family court judge, and so that's a good development for Samoa. So also we're going through the motions of how do we encourage people to bring family matters before this family courts. If we had not been so successful before in the district court, what makes us think a family court, just to call it a family court, will make any difference? But this is also a new development for us. So hopefully, we'll see how we go.
Okay. So is there an expectation, or does the evidence indicate that court will be expected to deal with a significant number of family violence-based cases, as well as other issues to do with family law?
Yes, absolutely. We've recently passed the Family Safety Act. Well, this is not recent, 2008, but the implementation of the Act is... we hope that this court will... And that's to do with domestic violence, yes. Mm-hmm. And so every matter, so all the family legislation in Samoa that are existing at the moment, that this is the division that will be, the matters will be dealt with in that division.
Okay, good, thank you. So turning to the issue of legal education in our region, what do you think are the current opportunities and challenges in this area?
I'll first start with challenges. There's always a lot to talk about when it comes to challenges. Resources, lecturers and teachers do need a lot of support, generally everywhere, but yes, in the University of South Sydney School of Law, but there's a lot of a need for this, to assist, to give an environment of... an environment that makes you want to teach, makes you look forward to coming to, yes, and knowing that you are on par with other your other colleagues in the system or in the school. So if there's a lot of support systems for the lecturers, then there would be a lot more cheerfulness to take the challenges of lecturing each day. This is the first year for me to teach full time. I've tutored a few times, but it's not the same.
Yeah, the first year is always the worst.
Yeah. As I found out. Yes, but and if the resources were also readily available, like right here in Emily's campus, I speak for the law lecturers, but it's difficult at the moment with things having to be approved from across the seas in Fiji, and it delays matters, and you're unsure of how. But if there was perhaps a better or speedier communication, and it's the human resources, we're able to get answers as soon as possible from the human resources division, then that would be very helpful for the lecturers here. And also there's a need for lecturers here, so if there was a lot more budgets, perhaps there would be a lot more, we can afford a lot more lecturers to assist to take up the teaching load. It's quite yes, and because having a heavy load would be too heavy a load, you will probably not enjoy teaching. As I found, it's difficult to write other articles or take up those other teaching or lecturers' responsibilities. Because, of course, you have to focus on the teaching material each week. Also, another challenge is keeping up with the technology. Well, first of all, it's we need the broadband, we're now teaching online. We teach online, and we need to not to break the communication with students. In saying keeping up with technology, I talk about having to educate yourself also with the system, how to both teach face-to-face and also online. How you deal with certain issues when the internet is down, perhaps training nearly every day to keep up with the, and to know what's available on like Moodle on internet to assist you with the teaching. In relation to opportunities, the Pacific Island region, the Pacific Islands, there needs to be more researchers in the Pacific Islands to research in the areas that that need to be brought up and brought and taken to the world of literature. It's one of the under-researched regions of the globally. And we need good researchers and good literature from this research to inform our legal systems, the judiciary and parliament, and the full system in the Pacific Islands. I think that we do need a lot of researchers. I am the third person to have done a PhD in law in Samoa, from Samoa. There's a number of Samoans outside of Samoa. But I found that during my research that there was not much literature that one can rely on when you really want to research in depth in the countries, in Pacific Island countries. So we do need a lot more research.
Yes, more local content.
Yes, bring out a local content.
Okay, so my final question is to ask you whether you think there are any particular issues that affect women as legal practitioners or as legal educators in the region, and if so, how can they be addressed?
All right. Firstly, in relation to women as legal practitioners, I don't believe, this is my personal view, that there are. I don't think that there are any particular challenges or. Women have same opportunities as men, and in fact, in Samoa, there's a lot more women are practitioners than men, and year after year, the number still stays the same or increases for women. And I remember Chief Justice Sapolu saying a number of times after admission, or when he gives his speech at admission. At the bar, you would say there's at times it's only women graduates, women being admitted to the bar, and he would say, this is what the judiciary of this country will look like in the future, perhaps all made up of women. Mm. So in relation to opportunities in the legal world, the legal system, it's not as educators. We women have the same and are given the same opportunities as men. At times, I believe because women decide not to, or have circumstances that perhaps make they don't think of going taking up further education because their priority is with the family, and so it is not a matter of big importance to them. So there is, generally, in my view, no challenges. There's opportunities for everyone, and I think the systems allow for that.
Okay, great. Mm. Thank you so much, Toa, for your thinking and being with us on Pacific Conversations.
Thank you very much, Tess. It's great talking with you, and especially as a former lecturer of mine, and I'm privileged to be interviewed by you.
Yes, it feels a bit off sitting on this side of the desk. Okay, thank you very much.
You have been listening to a podcast from the Development Policy Centre. For more information on our work, visit our website at devpolicy.anu.edu.au.